Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Kol Yom Shishi. We're honored to have Rabbi Salofsky here with us today. This is our third or fourth year. Mark, this is our third year Erev Tisha B'Av with Rabbi Salofsky. It's a real honor to have him. There's no need for further introduction. Rabbi Salofsky is Rosh Yeshiva at YU, and he's going to be speaking on the topic of remembering the Beit HaMikdash, a halachic analysis. I would request from everyone that they please turn off their cell phones, me included. I'm not just the, I'm also a member of the Shut Your Phone team. So please shut off your phones, put it on stun, whatever you want to do. And without further ado, Marino Arav Salofsky.
Thank you so much, Brian and Mark and Michael, for helping put together this event once again. It's hard to believe that an entire year has passed, but I guess we hope and pray that by next year's Shia, so we'll have a Shia celebrating the Binyan Beit HaMikdash. But for now, let's try to talk a little bit about the notion in halacha of Zechel HaMikdash, the idea of remembering the Beit HaMikdash. So it goes without saying that the absence of the Beit HaMikdash has greatly impacted on our mitzvah observance. Just a simple looking through Shas, we come to the quick realization that a full one-third of Torah Shabbat there is really, in a sense, not applicable to Zman HaZeh. We have Seder Kodshim, and for many of us, we're in the middle of learning Daf Yomi, so we somehow feel the life of the Beit HaMikdash, but the reality speaking is that we don't offer Karbonos for Zman HaZeh, at least not yet, and Seder Kodshim is not relevant L'maisa for us, and Seder Taharos, for the most part, is not relevant for us. And we're really clearly missing a significant chunk of Torah in the absence of the Beit HaMikdash. But what I want to speak about today is not so much what we're lacking in terms of the Beit HaMikdash, in terms of mitzvah observance, but how the absence of the Beit HaMikdash, how the Churban itself has impacted on our mitzvah observance today. Many things that we do today, perhaps not even realizing, are a throwback to the Beit HaMikdash. So I want to take us almost through a little bit through a tour throughout the year. We're going to talk, it may seem a little bit out of a kind of, you know, the middle of Chaz'av, it may seem a little bit strange to be talking about the mitzvah of Lulav, or the mitzvah of Leil HaSeder, or the mitzvah of Sefirat HaOmer, but we're going to really kind of touch on many, many of the mitzvahs, and just how different, or how impacted, the lack of the Beit HaMikdash is today on our Torah observance. So we start with the first of the sugyas, first of the Maamar Kamos, is the Mishnah in Maseches Sukkah and Daf Mem Aleph Amud Aleph. The Mishnah tells us, that originally the mitzvah of lulav was performed in the Beis HaMikdash for the entire week of Sukkot, but the Medina, and here the word Medina means chutz la-mikdash, there is a fascinating machlokas that we've shown him, whether the line of demarcation is actually the Beis HaMikdash itself, or whether the line is Yerushalayim, at least halachic Yerushalayim. According to one opinion, at least the view of the Rambam seems to be, that when we speak about lulav being taken by mikdash kol shiva, that actually refers to all of Yerushalayim, which may have many, many ramifications halacha l'maisa. If I come back before Sukkot to give a shiur about lulav mikdash kol shiva, we'll talk about that. But for our purposes, lulav by mikdash was taken the entire week. However, the Medina outside of the Beit HaMikdash, outside of Yerushalayim, is only Yom Echad, only for one day. And of course, this is based on the explicit pasuk in Parshas Emor, ulkachtam lachem b'yom harishon. The mitzvah of taking a lulav min haTorah is only the first day of Sukkot. However, at the end of the pasuk, usmachtem lifnei Hashem elokeichem shivas yomim, we rejoice in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu for 7 full days. That is also performed through the taking of a lulav, but that only takes place by mikdash lifnei Hashem elokeichem. So basically, min haTorah, there are two parts of the mitzvah of lulav. There's lulav by mikdash kol shiva, and lulav chutz lemikdash only on the first day. That's the way things were in the old days. However, the Mishnah continues, Mishachara Beis HaMikdash, once the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Hiskin Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Shehei Lulav Nitzal B'Medina, Shiva LaMikdash. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai instituted that Lulav and Esrog should be taken B'Medina, even outside of the Beis HaMikdash, for the entire week, Zechel HaMikdash, in order for us to remember what things were like in the Beis HaMikdash. So right here, we already see, from the days of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, of course, was the leader of Klal Yisrael right at the time of the Churban. Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai instituted a practice that we observe until this very day, that although min haTorah, the mitzvah of lulav, is only the first day, mid the rabbanon, because of zeichel mikdash, we in fact shake a lulav and esrog each and every day of Sukkot as a fulfillment of this notion of zeichel mikdash. So we're going to skip just the last couple of words of the Mishnah. Hopefully we'll have time at the end to come back to them. We're going to go just to the first line of the Gemara, the second line of the Gemara Mekomos. If the Gemara min nolan de'avdin zeichel mikdash, how do we know this idea that we are supposed to do things and in effect change things, zeichel mikdash? Why don't we observe the mitzvah the way it was in the old days? The mitzvah d'oraita, what was wrong with just taking a lulav on the first day? Why do we have to go out of our way today to make and do things zeichel mikdash? I'm Rabbi Yochanan Yom HaKros, based on a poskin Yom Yo, ki ela aruch alach u'mimakosayich erpa'ech u'm Hashem, ki nidach akar lach tzion idareish en la. The poskin Yom Yo is bemoaning the fact that nobody cares about tzion anymore. Nobody's thinking about tzion anymore. Doresh en la. So comes the Gemara and tells us, Doresh ein la, mechlal zabaya derisha. From the fact that the Navi is bemoaning the fact that nobody cares and nobody's thinking and nobody's asking about Zion, that's wrong, that's not correct. We're supposed to be asking about Zion, we're supposed to be remembering the Beit HaMikdash, and it's this pasuk that ultimately serves as the source for the halachic basis of Zeichel HaMikdash. So when we perform the mitzvah Luv and Esrog for the duration of Sukkot Bizman Hazeh, we are actually in fulfillment of this pasuk in Navi, Tzion Yidoresh Ein La Bichlal Debaya Derisha. So I want to understand from a lumdishah perspective how to understand what is pshat in this sugya. We know that min haTorah, lulav and esrog only make sense on the first day. Outside the mikdash, person takes lulav and esrog in Beit Shemesh or in Dinek or any other place in the world. After the first day, he is not fulfilling a mitzvah d'oraisa. The reason why he's doing it is because tzion yidoresh ein la, kach hiskin Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai. Yesh lachkor. One could raise a fundamental question, a lumdisha question, how to understand this practice that we have today of taking a lulav, even though it's not technically binding in haTorah. One can understand this in one of two ways. Either one can understand that this is not really a mitzvah lulav anymore. Lulav is only l'kachta mechem b'yom harishon. Unless you're in the Beit HaMikdash, there is no such thing as lulav. It's not lulav d'arayis, it's not lulav d'rabban, it's nothing. That's not the mitzvah. You know what the name of the mitzvah is? The name of the mitzvah is almost a shekhi dishana mitzvah yitzvanu lisko es hamikdash. It's a mitzvah, zechel hamikdash. That is the new mitzvah. So in the Lomdish, a briska formulation, there are really two different mitzvahs that we do. When we go shopping, Erev Sukkot for our lulav and esrog, we're having in mind, hinini mucham zuman, not really, but hinini mucham zuman, l'shem yichud, we're buying the lulav for two purposes. We're going to perform the mitzvah d'araisa of lulav, l'kachta b'chem b'yam harishon, and then the duration of the week, we're going to perform another mitzvah, a different mitzvah called liskos hamikdash. Now you may ask, why can't we just sit back and we'll twiddle our thumbs and we'll think about the Beis HaMikdash? So we'll sit back on the second day of Sukkot, Hinni Mucham Zom L'Shem Mitzvah Zeich HaMikdash, and on the third day, what have to shake a lulav for? If it's not a mitzvah of lulav, why can't I just do Zecher without the Maita mitzvah? So this is probably a throwback to an idea that the Sefer Chinuch develops in many, many different places. Acharei ha'ulos yimshichu halavavos. That it is impossible for a person just to sit around and philosophize about some great truths. Chazal understood, Torah understood, human psychology is that we have to act. We have to do things. And when we act and we perform actions, that impacts upon our entire psyche, upon our entire thought process. And the effort of Yochanan Zakkai understood that if you're just simply going to tell people to sit around for a week and just think and contemplate and dream about the Beis HaMikdash, it's not going to work. But if you tell people, take a lulav and esrog, go through the motions, go through the actions, make believe that it's the Beis HaMikdash, and Klal Yisrael even enhanced this idea by doing Hoshanos, which also throw back to the Beis HaMikdash. So we, in a sense, replay the Beis HaMikdash day in and day out during the course of the week of Sukkot. By the end of the week, we will remember, oh, in fact, Tzion Hidorish, Ein Lama Chlal Debar Drisha, we will have fulfilled the mitzvah of Zeich LeMikdash. So the nature of the mitzvah, perhaps, is not really Netilas Lulav. Netilas Lulav is reserved for one day. The nature of the mitzvah is Zeich LeMikdash. Or maybe that's not correct. Maybe one can offer a different, an alternative understanding of the lumdus of what's going on. What we are doing is a mitzvah of Netilas Lulav. What do you mean Netilas Lulav? Netilas Lulav is only Beyom Rishon, that's true. With the Araisa, it's Beyom Rishon. But with the Rabbanon, it's for the duration of Sukkot. So it's really the same mitzvah of Netilas Lulav, albeit the Mechayeh is only with the Rabbanon, But the Maisa HaMitzvah is identical. It's a Maisa HaMitzvah of Metilas Lulav, which sources, which obligation emanates from a Chiyuv Midrabbanan. So it sounds like somewhat of a Lomdisha Shaila, but it is a Lomdisha Shaila. How do we understand what's going on? Tachlis, bottom line, I'm shaking a Lulav on the third day of Chol HaMoed. Is that a mitzvah of Zechel HaMikdash, and I'm just simply using a lulav as a vehicle to reach the Zechel HaMikdash? Or is no, that Zechel HaMikdash was the reason for the Din Derabbanan, but the nature of the Din Derabbanan is the Tzilas Lulav? It's almost a question of the chicken before the egg. What is causing what? Is Zechel HaMikdash responsible for a mitzvah Derabbanan of lulav, or is lulav being taken to accomplish Zechel HaMikdash? So you may be wondering and thinking, wait, this is a two lumbus here for Friday morning, you know, what is he talking about? What's the difference? Hair splitting, it's azoy. Give me a practical nafkamina. Remember Shechter said on several occasions, he said, you know, if you throw out a nafkamina, you can't come out with any practical, if you throw out a chakira, and you can't come out with any practical nafkamina, so it's a sheer in philosophy. It's always nice to learn philosophy, but that's not Torah. So you have to learn Torah, you gotta go, tachlis, bottom line, give me a nafkamina, give me a practical difference. So perhaps there is a practical difference, and that's what appears in the second of the sources. A comment of Tosfos, but Tosfos points out that if you look carefully in the beginning of the third pekah of Masechet Sukkah, it appears that the standards of kashrus for lulav and esrog are not identical on the subsequent days after the first day. Many of us are familiar with this. One of the applications of this, the most famous application is, you bought this beautiful esrog, spent, I don't know, but if the shkolim, he spent 500 shekel on this beautiful, beautiful essay, it's kevalik, it's beautiful, mehuda, ala chumras, ala hidurim, and your kid drops it on the first day and breaks the pitum. So now what? Before you break the kid, what's the essay of the essay? So on the first day, if it lost the pitum, big problem, fossil. After the first day, we can negotiate. Why can we negotiate? Why should we be more lenient after the first day? So Tosfos has the following suggestion. Tosfos says in the second of the sources, Lekach nira, the Hainu Taima, Vishum Diyom Rishon Diyaraisa Begvulin, the first day is Minat Torah outside the Mikdash, Usha Yomi Dirabonin Zechel Mikdash, and after that is only Dirabonin, Kedis Abrejul Uva Rava. Hilkach, therefore Tosfos says, the Ikar HaLekicha, the mainstay of the mitzvah, to go on Dalad Minim, the fact that you have to take four species, and the fact that each person has to take their own, you don't just have the chaz and get up and shake lulav for everybody. Tikun b'shayom ke'ein d'araisa. Chazal instituted that all the main components of the mitzvah of lulav have to extend for the entire week. V'chein b'hadar, and similarly, if the lulav of the yesterday doesn't look pretty, mishum hidu mitzvah. So then we're going to extend that the whole week as well. Aval v'chosu b'shalo tikun. If the lulav of the yesterday is just missing a small piece from it, or if you borrow the lulav and esrog, it's not lochem, it doesn't belong to you. Even though those are things that would disqualify the dalad minim on the first day, those disqualifications do not carry over throughout the week of Sukkot. So Tosfos points out clearly from the Gemara at the beginning of the third parak of Sukkah that there are real practical differences between the chefts of lulav and esrog for the first day in contrast to the subsequent days. What is this based on, says Tosfos? Very simple. The first day is d'araisa, and the second days are only midrabbanan. The Brisker Rav suggests that it's more to it than that. Tosfos is a little bit deeper than just saying one's d'araisa, one's d'rabbanan. Says the Brisker Rav, this Tosfos is actually the practical difference to Achakira. If you would hold that lulav and esrog is a mitzvah midrabbanan the entire week, so then l'chaura, at first glance, it should have to meet the standards of lulav and esrog. If it's missing or if it's borrowed, it doesn't have all the halachas that govern the chavtza of dalad minim, so it should be posel midirabbanon on subsequent days, the same way that it's posel midiraisa on the first day. The only reason why we're willing to forego some of these concerns after the first day, the reason why we're willing to be lenient and say it's all right if it's got a hole in it, it's all right if it broke the pitum perhaps, it's all right if it doesn't belong to you, those things are all fine, says the Brisker Rav. All of those concerns are only alleviated because the mitzvah is not a mitzvah of the Tilas Lulav. It's merely a mitzvah of Zeichel HaMikdash. And we're using the Lulav and Esrog as a vehicle to reach Zeichel HaMikdash. So if a person says, well, I'm not going to take a Lulav and Esrog, I'm going to take something else and sit around and think about the Mikdash, that doesn't work. So you have to take a Lulav and Esrog. That's not negotiable. But the standards of kashrus for the lulav need not be up to par because the whole goal is really to reach the point psychologically of Zeichel HaMikdash. I can reach Zeichel HaMikdash whether my pitum is there or not. As long as I basically have a fundamental chepsa of Reuven Esrog, even though it's missing some of the critical details, that doesn't impact, doesn't detract from my ability to perform Zecher Mikdash. So we see even within the details of Dalet Minim, even within the halachas that are governed Ad Yom Hazeh, that we have certain leniencies on Dalet Minim after the first day, that is a throwback to at least one side of this Chakira, that the mitzvah lulav all week is not really a mitzvah lulav. It's more of a mindset to get us into remembering what things were like in the old days, the days of the Beit HaMikdash. Actually, a throwback to what we mentioned before, there was a suggestion to the Sefer Binyan Zion, with the Binyan Zion, it's a fascinating tshuvah. It was written by the Aruch Lanair. Besides his other wonderful accomplishments, he was the Rebbe of Rav Shimshon Fal Hirsch. The reason why the tshuvahs are called Binyan Zion, because the very first tshuva was a response to a Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer. Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer had a grandiose idea in the early 1800s that we're going to go back to Eretz Yisrael, we're going to build the Beit HaMikdash, we're going to offer kabbonos, and he had the whole thing in place. He even had gotten some sponsors. You can't even run a breakfast without a sponsor. Kabbalah without a Beit HaMikdash without a sponsor. So he had already got some people in Europe to sponsor to try to buy off from the Turks the right to go up to the Harabayas and to offer kabbonos. In the end, the whole thing failed. Very similar. The Turks weren't interested in selling. But in the process, he asked many of the Gedolim in Europe as to what their opinion was. And one of the Gedolim he approached was the Aruch Lanair. And the first tshuva in the Shas and tshuvas of the Aruch Lanair was about the topic of rebuilding the Beit HaMikdash. It was fascinating tshuva. And therefore, the entire Sefer was called Binyan Zion because of that first tshuva. So in the Sefer Binyan Zion, one of his later tshuvas, he talks about that putting together what we mentioned before, that according to the Rambam, min haTorah, if you're in Yerushalayim, or halachic Yerushalayim, then you have to shake the Luv and Esrog min haTorah b'zman hazeh, says the Binyan Zion. Therefore, the standards of Luv and Esrog, if you go to Daven by the Kosel, on subsequent days of Chol HaMoed, you got to make sure your pitim is still intact. You got to make sure it's not a bar in Luv and Esrog. All the coolness, all the leniencies only emanate from the fact that it's only derabbanan, but if it would be deraisa, and all bets are off, then you go back to the old standards, it has to be kosher min haTorah. Then he throws another curveball at us. What if a person daven shachar at the same Beit Shemesh on the third day Chol HaMoed, and then they go to the kotel later in the afternoon? Guess what? They have to shake the Luvin Esrog over again. Because in the morning's shaking was only mid derabbanan, the afternoon shaking will become mid deraisa. You have a lot of interesting, fascinating chumrah. Then you have a briska chumrah, briska chiddush on top of that. What if a person on the first day shook a Luvin Esrog and he davened in Me'ez Sharim on the first day, and then he goes in the afternoon on the first day to the kotel? He may have to shake again also, because it could be that the mitzvah of Mikdash Kol Shiva is a separate mitzvah. So maybe you were yoyt to the mitzvah of Kachta Mechem Yom Rishon of Gvulin, and you want to think that's already a lumdus, that's lumdus squared, that's already lumdus cubed already, that's already a lot of shalom. But again, we'll try to come back to the Zecher Mikdash topic. So again, so we have a first shayla as to what the nature of the mitzvah of Zecher Mikdash is. Is Zecher Mikdash just Zecher Mikdash, that's all it is, and the Maisim are just being used as a vehicle to reach Zecher Mikdash? Or is it really a mitzvah midrabanan of that particular mitzvah? Excellent. We're going to lead right into that. Right. We're going to lead into that in a little while about how the bracha may or may not play out into that. Very good. What is the source in Chazal for this idea that sometimes you have a mitzvah that's Zecher Mikdash, and we almost water down some of the details? What Tosfos is telling us that we don't have to be so concerned with some of the technical details of Dalet Minim, because after all, it's only Zecher Mikdash. So is there a source for this earlier than Tosfos? So the Biskei Rav himself points out that there may very well be, and that's the Sugya the third of the Ramakamos. But the Gemara is now discussing the mitzvah of Tzvirsa Omer. So Gufa, the Gemara in Sabach Bavam and Aleph and Menachas, and the third of the sources, Gufa Amra Baye, mitzvah lememne yome or mitzvah lememne shivuei. There is a mitzvah when one counts Tzvirsa Omer to count the days as well as the weeks, as it says in the Chumash. Tisperu chamishim yom, shiva shavuos tisperlach. So there are two components of the mitzvah. Rabbanan de Rav Ashi, manu yomi umanu shivuei. The Rabbanan in the yeshiva of Rav Ashi used to do this. They would count the days and the weeks, which is a very startling statement because, well, if you have to do it, why would one have thought that one wouldn't be doing it? It's almost like saying, you have to eat matzah at the Seder, and the rabbis also eat matzah at the Seder. You have to put on tefillin, and the rabbis also do it. What does that mean? So the reason why the Gemara makes a point of saying that the Rabbanan de Rav Ashi did it in this way is because not everybody did it this way. A Neymar money yome v'lo money shivuei. A Neymar, when he counted Tzvirsa Omer, only counted the days and did not count the weeks. Why is that? The Torah says, Shiva Shavuos tis malach, Omar zecher lemikdashu. He said that the counting of Svira Bizman HaZeh in today's world is only mid the Rabbanon. The reason being because Svira Omer is linked to the Korban HaOmer. And tragically, in the absence of the Beis HaMikdash, there's no Korban Omer, then there's no Sviras Omer Min HaTorah. The fact that we count Svira today is only Midrabanan, and therefore, Meimar said, it's only Zeich HaMikdash, what's the big deal? Therefore, we shouldn't count the weeks. Which is a very, very strange statement. Because even if a Meimar is correct, that Svira today is linked to Korban, and therefore it's not Min HaTorah, why don't you count the weeks? What's the big deal? How long does it take to say Hayom Shnei Shavuos? What is the why in the world that a Meimar Daf cannot count the weeks? So the Brisker Rav explained that this is all part of our theory, namely that a Meimar is coming to highlight that Sviras HaOmer today is not Sviras HaOmer. The mitzvah of Sviras HaOmer only exists as Ban Shabbos Hamikdash HaKayim. That's all there is. Why in the world are we counting Sviras today? We are counting Sviras to perform a different mitzvah entirely. It is the mitzvah called Zechel HaMikdash. It's not a mitzvah of Sviras. And therefore, argues the Brisker Rav, since it's not a mitzvah of Sviras HaOmer, it need not be done in a way that replicates Sviras HaOmer of old. If Sviras HaOmer today would have been a mitzvah of Sviras HaOmer, then we should count exactly the way they counted in the previous days. The fact that Sviras is not Deoraisa indicates to us that it's not really a mitzvah of Sviras, and as such, there is no need to do it in any way, shape, or form that resembles the original Sviras. Just give a token Sviras and call it a day, literally call it a day, just count it a day and leave out, I didn't mean that it's a pun, it just came out, just say count the days, leave out the weeks, and that's finished. Zeichel HaMikdash. That's the Brisker Rav's argument. The problem with the Brisker Rav's analysis is, that's not what we do. We do count the days and the weeks. Rabbanan de Beravashi, Bani Yom Ushurani Shvuei. Our practice, of course, is, we do count the days as well as the weeks. So why do we count the days as well as the weeks? So one can understand that in one of two ways. Either one can understand, maybe everybody else argued with a Meimar. Maybe everybody else argued with the Brisker Rav. Maybe everybody else argued with Tosfos in effect. Maybe our analysis of mitzvah Zechel HaMikdash as not being the mitzvah proper, but rather merely being a Zechel HaMikdash is not correct. Maybe that was exactly the point of contention between the Rabban and Rav Ashi's yeshiva and a Meimar. It was a very lomdish machlokes. It wasn't a machlokes of who has to run out of Meirah quicker, should we count the weeks or not. Everybody agrees that the Zman HaMikdash had to count the days and the weeks. And everybody agrees that Sviras today is only mit Rabbanan. The machlokes was, what do we do with all that information? Do we then go ahead and say, well, since it's only mit Rabbanan, therefore don't replicate the Mikdash. Don't do it exactly like the Mikdash. Just do a mere Zecher Ba'alma. Or do I say no? That true, the rationale, the reason why Chazal instituted the mitzvah was because of Zecher Mikdash. But at the end of the day, you have to do the mitzvah. At the end of the day, it has to be identical. At the end of the day, it has to be exactly like it was done in the days of the Mikdash. So maybe that's the very point of contention within the Gemara itself. Or maybe one can argue something totally different. Maybe one can argue the reason why we, by extension, the Rabban, the Rav Ashi, the custom in Klai Yisrael today, not to follow a Meimar, is for totally different reasons. Maybe the reason why we count days and weeks is because we hold Sviras today as Deraisa. We don't hold that Sviras Rabbanan. That's a mistake. Sviras Bizman is really Midaraisa. How can you say that? Doesn't it depend on the Korban? Doesn't the Torah say explicitly, Miyom Haviyachem Es Omer HaTanufa? How can anybody say that Sviras Bizman is really Deraisa? So can anybody say it? The Rambam says it. The Rambam says it explicitly in Hilchos Tefillin Musafin that Sviras Omer today is a mitzvah Deraisa. What happened to the Beis HaMikdash? There's no Korban Omer. So Reb Chaim has an interpretation of the Rambam. Reb Chaim says, what do you mean there's no Beis HaMikdash today? What do you mean there's no Korban Omer today? There's a Korban Omer today. You just didn't get around to bringing it. What does that mean? Says Reb Chaim, what if you lived in the time of the Beis HaMikdash and for some reason they ran out of barley that year and they just couldn't get around to bringing a Korban Omer? Would you say that, well, that year Sviras only the Rabbanan? Reb Chaim says, he doesn't think that's correct. He says, the mitzvah Deraisa of Sviras Omer doesn't depend upon the actual bringing of the Korban Omer. It depends on the potential of bringing of the Korban Omer. Anytime you have halachic potential to bring a Korban, that kicks in the obligation of Sviras Omer. Says Reb Chaim, the famous Rambam in Hilchos Beis HaMechira paskins, that we can offer Korbanos today. There is no reason why we're not offering Korbanos today. There are a lot of reasons why. There are a lot of practical, technical, kind of external, tangential reasons why we're not offering Korbanos today. But the Ikaron, fundamentally, the Rambam paskins, Kedushas HaMikdash is Kayemes V'Yolam Vod. The Kedusha of the Beit HaMikdash is here forever. The sign that it says outside the Kotel, it says Shechina L'Zozim V'Makam Hazeh, that the Kedusha is in full force. That's a quote right out of the Rambam. And the Rambam writes that we could theoretically offer Kabbalahs today. Well, there are reasons why, we all know there are logical reasons, political reasons, other reasons, but whatever the technicalities why we don't have a Beit HaMikdash standing right now and not offering Kabbalahs today, but fundamentally we could, and therefore the mitzvah of Sefirat HaOmer is Min HaTorah B'Zman Hazeh, according to the Rambam. So it comes out, we're not really sure why some Amoraim did count weeks, other Amoraim didn't count weeks. We're not sure what they were arguing about. Were they arguing about the Briska Rav's Chakira, is Zeich LaMikdash just a Zeicher, or is it the mitzvah itself? Are they arguing about something more fundamental? Is Sefirat HaOmer B'Zman Hazeh D'Oraisa or not? Somewhat unclear. But let's just move on for a moment to this sugya, back again for a moment to this sugya in Maseches Menachos, where the Gemara talks about a Maimar's view of counting days, but not counting weeks, Zeich LaMikdash. So the simple interpretation of a Maimar is that the entire Sefirat HaOmer is not Min HaTorah B'Zman Hazeh. It seems to be either you have to be consistent. Either you hold that all the spheres are Rabbanan, or you hold that all spheres are Raisa. So there is a fascinating third possibility that actually appears in Rishonim, the name of Rabbeinu Yerucham. Rabbeinu Yerucham has a Chiddush Gadol, where he suggests that the counting of days is the Raisa today, and the counting of weeks is only Midrabbanan today. It seems to be Sisrei Torah, seems to be some deep, dark secret. How could that be? Make up your mind. Either it depends on the korban, or doesn't depend on the korban. How could Yomim be D'Oraisa and Shavuos only be Midrabbanan? So the Or Sameach has a fascinating insight into Rabbeinu Yerucham. The Or Sameach suggests that it really is a throwback to the celebration of Shavuos itself. How many days is Shavuos celebrated? So we know that in October, one day, I'm not even talking about Chutzlar, it's in Eretz Yisrael, obviously Shavuos is one day. But not 100%. There's actually a second part of Shavuos, that's the entire week following Shavuos, where the Gemara tells us that if you live as Bana Mikdash, so then you can offer Karbanos, if you didn't get around to bringing the Karbanos on the first day, you have an entire week of Tashlum, and not all that different than Pesach and Sukkot. So there are really two different times in the calendar of Shavuos. There's Shavuos Yom Rishon, with the Yisr Malacha, with the Shavuos, of course, that we know today. But with Bana Mikdash, Shavuos, in a sense, was for a week as well. Says the Or Sameach, why is it that the Torah tells us that we have multiple countdowns to the Yom of Shavuos? Tisbru Chamishim Yom, you count 50 days, 49 days, and Shiva Shavuos Tisbalach. I can't do the math, 7 days equals a week. Why do you have two different sets of counts? Says the Or Sameach, himself, Briskavar, he says, because there are two Shavuoses. You're counting down each way to its own Yom Tif. You're counting days to the Yom Echad, to the 50th day of Svir, which is Shavuos that we know, and you're also counting Shiva Shavuos Tisbalach to the Yom Tif of the week of Shavuos, namely the week of Hakravas HaKarbanos that took place with Zman Shabbos Mikdash HaKayim. So the reason why there are two different counts in place are because there are two different celebrations of Shavuos. Says the Or Sameach, now Rabbeinu Yerucham makes perfect sense. He says the counting down of the days makes sense b'zman hazeh min haTorah because the Issur Melacha is the same. Shavuos that we know is the same as it was b'zman HaMikdash. It's the same Issur Melacha, the same cheesecake or not same cheesecake, the same Matan Taras Eidu, it's the same Yom Tov as it was at old. Therefore, the Sefirat HaYomim is the Araisa. Whereas the Shavuos Shavuot, the weekly celebration, we don't have that b'zman hazeh. We don't have that Nebuch, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, then the counting of the weeks we don't have either. And therefore, says the Or Sameach, it would make a lot of sense that the days are D'Oraisa, the weeks are only Midrabbanan. The only thing, remnant, we may have of the weeks is that there are some communities that have a custom of not saying Tachanun for the week after Shavuos. As a throwback to that custom, since the Zman HaMikdash, it was a real Yom Tov, we bring Kabbalah, it was Zman Simcha, therefore some shuls, we have a general rule called Sofik Tachanun Mekula. Whether it's a rule or not, I can't tell you. I was just davening at the Kotel the other day, and the Chazan didn't say Tachan. I was wondering, trying to think about who's here. Chassan is more than 9 days, very unlikely. Is there a bris? I was looking around for a baby. I didn't say, what am I missing here in terms of Tachan? They told me afterwards, there was a boy present at the Kotel was putting on tefillah for the first time. Okay, good. But after it was me not saying Tachan, I wasn't exactly sure. So some people have their different approaches. The Litvish world, the Chassidish world. The Litvish world will say Tachan to prove it otherwise. The Chassidish world won't say Tachan to prove otherwise. So when it comes to the week after Shavuos, there are different customs about this. I once had a fascinating experience. I was davening in Krakow, the Ramoshul in Krakow. It was about 3 or 4 days after Shavuos. They were davening mincha there, and the question was raised, what do we do? What's the minhag in Krakow? Do they say tachanun in the week following Shavuos or not? So I said, why don't we see what the Ramah says? So there happened to have been a Mishnah Berurah. My halacha was one chelik Mishnah Berurah on the shelf, was chelik beis with the halacha of tachanun. So I yanked it off the shelf, I looked up, the Ramah says, you do say tachanun. It says, you just don't say the nitzuchag, you do say tachanun. So I said, it's a beferish Ramah, that the Ramah said, this is his shul. Would you believe it that people argued with me then also? They said, no, the Ramah's been hugging more. No egg anymore because there was a break and now we have new minhag here. I said, give me a break, come on. You can't split yourself up and say tachanun. That was, it's two humorous tachanuns, and many humorous tachanuns. That one, and another time I was flying back from Eretz Yisrael once, and there was some, we had to make an emergency landing in Italy, and we were stuck there for a couple of hours, so we had a daven, we weren't expecting, we had a daven shachar there, so there are a group of people who announced that we're not saying tachanun. Why no tachanun? There's no Sefer Torah. So the Ramah writes, when there's no Sefer Torah, you don't fall tachanun, but you still say tachanun. They know, chumra gzeira, maybe you may come to fall, so they know, they didn't say, they wouldn't say tachanun. So one of the boys in Yeshiva was with me, said, stop, wait, I have a Sefer Torah with me. It looked like he was crazy. He opens up his knapsack, and he pulls out a Sefer Torah. He was carrying back for a shul, a very small Sefer Torah. And he said, what? And he had a Sefer Torah, and shit. So he said, kach up. So he said, what? Yeah, they ruined their day. Yeah. But don't worry, they found the rebbe who died that day anyway, so we didn't say, So, getting back to our story, so we have really two different parts of Shavuos, and one is more Mikdash oriented, one is less Mikdash oriented. That perhaps could be the background to the Rabbeinu Yerucham. Those are from Riverdale, including Brian, and anyone else, old Riverdale people will appreciate this part of the story. When I was a young boy growing up in Riverdale, my teenage years, so Dr. Shavel was the son of Rabbi Shavel. Rabbi Shavel was one who wrote all the Perusha Ramban and put all the notes and really put all the Kisvei Ramban into the world today. So his son still lives in Riverdale. So every year, during beginning of Sfiras Omer time, he would always pull me over to the side and he would tell me over this Or Sameach with Rabbi Yerucham. And he said to me, his father every year told him the same Shtickle Torah that he would tell him, and he had such hanoah telling me over this story. So I happened to bump into him in Riverdale a couple of months ago in the pizza store right after Pesach. So I went up to him and I said, Dr. Shavel, I have to share this with you. I want to tell you over there, he got a good kick out. He said, oh yeah, my father, tell me. So we were talking about the Rabbi Yerucham. So I spoke about it in my shul soon afterwards. I told the Balabas, I said, you see, you tell somebody about Torah, 30 years later, they still remember you. You see, the words that Rabbi Shavel of Hashem's for many, many years, the fact that he told his son 70 years ago, he told him this Rabbi Yerucham, he told it to me, we're still telling it over in the pizza store, so we're still telling it over in Beit Shemesh. So the words of Torah continue from generation to generation, even through the pizza. This idea that the mitzvahs of Zeicher LeMikdash may not be mitzvah per se, but maybe a little bit more in terms of almost like a mitzvah shebaleiv, maybe a little bit more Zeicher LeMikdash oriented rather than Maaseh Mitzvah oriented, maybe the background for a discussion in Rishonim, as was alluded to before, about how this impacts upon making a bracha, perhaps not making a bracha. So there is a sugya in the fourth Seder Rambam, it comes very famous sugya, the Gemara Pesachim Daf Kuf Tezvav Amid Aleph, discusses the Machlokes Hillel and the Rabbanon about how to perform the mitzvah of matzah, maror, Pesach. So are you supposed to eat it all together as a sandwich? You're supposed to eat one separately. So it was a dispute in the days of the Beis HaMikdash. And the Gemara concludes, Hashtad lo itma yuchasa lo ke hilav lo ke rabbanon. The Gemara tells us, the fourth Rambam comes that we don't have a clear-cut psak whether you're supposed to do what Hillel said or not. So therefore the Gemara comes up with the following, in a sense, compromise. Therefore, bizman hazeh, what you should do is as follows. This is the Seyda Dvarim. This is, of course, what we do until this very day. Bevarach alachilas masa ve'ochil. So you recite the bracha of alachilas matzah, and you eat it kedais matzah separately, without any morah. For hazem mevarach alachilas morah, that afterwards you make an alachilas morah, and you eat it as well. And after you're done eating matzah and eating morah, for hadar ochil matzah v'chasma hadiyadah di beloy bracha. Afterwards you eat matzah and morah together without a bracha, notice that without a bracha, zeich lemikdash kilo. To remember what things were like in the old days, in the days of the Beis HaMikdash, zeich lemikdash kilo. What exactly did Hillel do? The Machlokes of Rishonim. Some Rishonim say that he ate Masa and Mara together, but the Korban Pesach was actually eaten separately. And others say, no, he had three kazaisim, the big giant sandwich. He had Pesach, Masa, Umara, and Ochel B'yachad. So it's Machlokes of Rishonim. There are actually two different texts in the Haggadah. Some of the texts of the Haggadah had Hayakorach, Masa, Umara, B'yachad, and some of the texts had Hayakorach, Pesach, Masa, Umara, B'yachad. What's our practice? So generally, the minhagim in America, the Leil HaSeder, were determined by the Maxwell House Haggadah. That was the famous Haggadah back in the early 1900s. So that Rabbi Maxwell House decided to hut kapah. He didn't want to pass in the Shaila. But he didn't know how to be machweir between the Rashbam and the Rambam. So he put the word Pesach into parentheses. And you choose whether you want to say it or not. So my kids always ask me, do we say it or not? I say, I don't remember from year to year whether we say it. So some years I say Pesach, some years the Rambam, some the Rashbam. Either way, everybody make this, we'll figure out. If we possibly kill them, everybody makes we'll figure out what to do. So one thing is clear from the Gemara, that when you do what we call, of course, Korech, it's without a bracha. Hada achel b'loy bracha. You don't recite a bracha. And the question is, why not? If the rule, if Chazal are instituting to do this, Zeichel and Mikdash, why is there no bracha recited? So there are some Rishon who have the opinion that the reason why there's no bracha recited is because, guess what? It's only Zeichel and Mikdash. And therefore, there's no bracha. What would that mean conceptually? There is a Beis Yosef who says that when we do Bittul Chametz on Pesach night, we don't make a bracha. You know why? We make a bracha on Bedigas Chametz, not on Bittul Chametz. Even though Bittul is a mitzvah. Why not? It's a mitzvah shebelev. You don't even have to say the word bittul. You could just think the bittul. Bittul belev, according to most opinions, is acceptable. Says the Beis Yosef, brachas are made on nice mitzvahs. They're not made on thoughts. Therefore, one could argue that is perhaps the reason why there's no bracha on the Zeich LeMikdash of Korech. Because it's not a mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah. We're eating the Masa Moror so that we should put ourselves into the mindset of thinking about the Beis HaMikdash. It's a mitzvah shebelev. It's not a mitzvah shebemaisa, and therefore it doesn't warrant a bracha. The problem is, well, there are other mitzvahs that we do, which are Zeich LeMikdash, that do warrant brachas. Let's say, for example, Sfirat Omer. Well, Sfirat Omer may not be the best example, because we're not even sure that's only the Rabbanan. But Lulav, we do make a bracha on Lulav. So what one has to say to defend those who shown him is that not all mitzvahs are the same. That not all Zeich LeMikdashes are the same. Some Zeich LeMikdashes were instituted as mitzvahs proper, and those such as Lulav would require a bracha, and others were instituted as mere machshavas, as mere zeiches, and wouldn't warrant a bracha. If you're going to ask me the multi-million dollar question, how in the world would you ever know which is which? The answer is, I have no idea. I don't know how to tell. I wouldn't be able to determine why one should be one way and one should be another way. But again, it's clear from some Rishonim that Zeich LeMikdashes don't warrant brachas. There were some Rishonim who say it explicitly. And I learned Pshat in the Korach Sugya that way. And according to them, you would have to explain that somehow Lulav, for whatever reason, Chazal understood that Lulav is going to be different. Why that should be, I do not know. But the reason why there's no bracha on Korach may have nothing to do with that Sugya. May have nothing at all to do with Zeich LeMikdash. It may be for a totally different reason. And that's what's suggested in the Shulchan Aruch, in the fifth of the Maamar Kamos. The Shulchan Aruch quotes some other Rishonim will say, the Oyle Zeich LeMikdash Kehillel, when we recite Zeich LeMikdash Ve'ochlem Biyachad, and one eats the Masa Mara together, Ha'aseva, as one is leaning, U'mishabirach Alachilas Matzah, once a person recited Alachilas Matzah, Lo Yasiach B'davah, should not talk, She'enim Inin Asuda, anything that's not relevant for that meal immediately, Atchiyocho Krichazu, there should be no talking between the Alachilas Matzah until one finishes the Korech. Why is that? This is based on Rishonim who say, that the reason why we don't make a bracha on Korech, unlike the Rishonim who said, because it's Zeich LeMikdash, that's not true. Says the Shulchan Aruch, the reason why there's no bracha on Korech, you made the bracha already. What in the world, what bracha would you make? Alachilas Masa Moror? You just made Alachilas Masa. You just made Alachilas Moror. So why repeat the same bracha? So therefore the Shulchan Aruch has a totally different take on why there's no bracha, nothing at all to do with it being a Zeich LeMikdash. You do make brachas in Zeich LeMikdash. We make brachas on Sfiras Omer. We make brachas on Lulav Kol Shiva. The reason why we don't make a bracha on Korech is because we did in effect. We made the bracha on Matzah Maror, therefore leading us to believe that one shouldn't talk from the moment of Alachilas Matzah, which is tantamount to saying from the time of Mesilas Yadayim, it's a good 20 minutes. That's how long it takes to eat your Matzah. That could be a good 20 minutes from Mesilas Yadayim until Korech. It's a machaya, it's quiet, a little bit to say that for 20 minutes nobody's talking. So many people are not aware of this halacha in the Shulchan Aruch. I guess they must hold like the other Rishonim, and usually have the following kinds of conversations that are taking place. You made the Alachilas Matzah, and your first kedayas, you know, you're really thinking, and you're in the world of halach ma'anya, and you're zeichet just to try him, and you guys oilam asal yoinim, and you're chayav b'chol dov v'dor chayav, everything. And the person next to you saying, oh, the matzah last year was fresher than this year. They're a little stale, it's not going down, you pass me the water. You know, then the other person saying, oh, why don't we go away for yom? You know, you got all the regular conversations. The other person saying, I'm exhausted, I haven't slept in 3 weeks, you know, let's move things along, the magid was too long. As the Shulchan Aruch says, shh, which requires for halachic and hashkafic reasons. That's a good time to think and focus on what's really important at the Leil HaSeder and through life. So one should be quiet at that time. The only problem with the statement of the Shulchan Aruch is that there's an internal contradiction, because the Shulchan Aruch a second ago just told you, the Shulchan Aruch just said to say Zech LaMikdash, and in the same breath he tells you, don't talk. So what's pshat? So the pasuk pshat is, it's not a question altogether. It's me'inyan li'inyan. It's part of the, it enhances the mitzvah. You shouldn't be schmoozing about last year's matzahs, but you should be talking about Zech LaMikdash. That's exactly what you're supposed to be thinking about. That's the pasuk Sadvarim. The Mishnah Berura was so bothered with this quote-unquote apparent steer, apparent contradiction, Shulchan Aruch, that the Mishnah Berura writes that he thinks that it's a little bit of a mistake in the way we perform Korach today. Mishnah Berura says he thinks that the more correct way to do Korach is to eat the Korach first and say Zech LaMikdash afterwards. Because it makes more sense to say the Zech LaMikdash after you eat it rather than before. Now again, Shulchan Aruch doesn't say that. Shulchan Aruch says very clearly, I'm a Zech LaMikdash, and then afterwards, Eichel. But the Mishnah Berura says he's not so sure that that's right. Thinks maybe it would be more correct to do it afterwards. So there are different practices as well as that. There's some who follow the Maxwell House Pesach, the standard conventional wisdom. You say Zech LaMikdash first, they're not worried about it. And there are others who say, no, you should be Machbid and follow the Mishnah Berura's idea. And after say, again, Yesh V'Yesh, different practices. Every year, you know, you think, man, Baruch Hashem, I've been doing this for many years. So I in my practice, I say it afterwards. There's nothing to lose by saying it afterwards. I said, the saying is Zech LaMikdash is not a din anyway. They have nothing to lose by saying it afterwards. I always say it afterwards. So usually most of the people around my Seder say it. Chumrah, Sofik, that's which one. No, he says both. I say it afterwards. Yeah, I just say it afterwards. So always one of my kids starts screaming, Ah, you forgot to say. You can't talk, you know, I can't explain it. Don't you remember what we've been doing for the last 20 years? And that's what I always do. Then the problem is, by that point, the Haggadahs get clear, and I can never find the Zech LaMikdash. I got to start scrounging around, looking around. My wife's already serving the hard-boiled eggs. She's already serving the soup, and I'm still, and usually I'm behind anyway, because my master tends to be a little bit bigger than some of the other people at the table, and my mora tends to be bigger. And at that point, everyone's, you know, at that point, my wife's already sweeping around all the master crumbs that are all maybe I'm still going on master, and they're already getting ready for Afikoman, and I'm still looking around for the Haggadahs to try to find the state. So we have some humorous moments, that's like everybody, all other families have their moments of lighter moments at the Seder. We should just feel good that all the Shulchan Aruch said is that you shouldn't talk until the end of Korach. But if some Achareim will raise the question, maybe you shouldn't talk until the end of Afikoman. Because according to many Rishonim, the Ikar Mitzvah is really Afikoman. We make the Bracha first for technical reasons. So it will be a fascinating Chumash. Some Achareim write, it's a Gezeir Shein Robotzi B'chol Mamadba. Means you can't tell people to kids. It's hard enough to help people to be quiet for 5 minutes, even that they can't do. Afikoman for an hour. So no, the minute is lahakal. After Korach, you can revert back to talking, hopefully about appropriate kind of topics. So we've been talking about doing mitzvahs of Zech LaMikdash and how important it is to remember the Beis HaMikdash, but we haven't yet seen what the mood is supposed to be at the time of these mitzvahs. And we think that the mitzvah of Lulav is a pretty happy mitzvah, even when we do it all week. We think of Sfiras Omer, you know, we're counting Sfira, beautiful, looking down, counting down to Shavuot, and we're eating the Korach, you know, our mindset is a pretty cheerful one. But the Balam Or almost puts a sort of a damper on many of the mitzvahs that we perform in Zech LaMikdash, and the sixth of the Marmukamos. The Balam Or raises the following question. V'od, Shalom Atzinu Birchas Man, El B'dav Sheish Bo Shum Hano. Says the Balam Or, notice that there's many mitzvahs that we recite Shechiyonu on, and there are many mitzvahs that, for some strange reason, we don't recite Shechiyonu for doing them the first time. So says the Balam Or, what's the rule? The rule is, Mitzvah Sheish Bo Hano. If the mitzvah is enjoyable, it's a geschmack to do the mitzvah, then you recite Shechiyonu. The Balam Or takes you through a list of those kinds of mitzvahs. Kigon, Metilas Lulav, Shubala Simcha, great simcha, it feels lulav. Kishya shofar, the zikaron, b'nei Yisrael, avim shuv shamayim. Kishya shofar is a happy time. It's a scary time, true. You know, a trepidation time, but on the other hand, we know HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take our zichronos in a good way. So the kishya shofar is a mitzvah sheyesh bano. Mikra Megillah, chas rachman alana parkina, and the Rebbeinu Shlom had rachmanos on us, and he redeemed us. So there's so many beautiful mitzvahs that we do, and we recite Shechiyonu. Pidgin Aben, the Gemara says at the end of Pesachim, Shem Varach Avi Aben Shechiyonu. So the Balam Or is an interesting reason why. Kishya yosef b'no misafik nefel. T'chol sheshosh l'ashm yom ba'odem eno nefel. Because once the child has survived for 30 days, the father is very happy, so he's going to recite Shechiyonu, which raises the question, so why don't you say it for every child? Why don't you say it for a girl also? So the answer is that you're not just saying it on the fact that you're happy a child survived 30 days. It's a mitzvah sheyesh b'simcha. It has to be a ma'aseh mitzvah. So there happens to be the mitzvah pidgin aben is linked to the 30 days of yosef, michlal, safek, of being nefel. Now we know Baruch Hashem, the child survived, so you make a bracha. But here comes the Balam Or in contrast with the punchline. Ula Sfiras Omer, why don't we say Shechiyonu and Sfiras Omer? Famous question. What happened to Shechiyonu the first time of Sfira? Ein b'zeichel l'shemanah. There's nothing that we're happy about when we count Sefirah. Nothing to do with the Tamid of Rabbi Akiva. That's a much later point. Says the Balmor, you know why we're not happy when we count Sefirah? Listen to this. El agmas nafshenu v'churban beis leil. Says because we're counting the Sefirah Sefirah with a crest, with a cry. That Asher Kiddushanu Nebuch, we don't have Sefirah Sefirah today, Min HaTorah. We don't have the Korban Omer, we don't have the real thing, we don't have the Beis HaMikdash. So we do it, Tzion Yidderish Einlo, we have to do it, we have to make a bracha on it, Shechiyanu Livyat. Shechiyanu is not appropriate for a time of Korban, which is in fact an interesting related to the minig that we have today. We don't say Shechiyanu during the 3 weeks. Not because of Avelis, and although a lot of say Shechiyanu, but during the 3 weeks is a time of Korban, you can't say with a straight face, Lazman Hazeth, thank you, Rebbe Shalom, for this wonderful time. So too, you can't say Shechiyanu v'kimanu, thank you the Rabban Shalom for never taking away the Beit HaMikdash. We can't do mitzvahs anymore. We can't bring a carbon omer anymore. So therefore, we leave out the Shechiyanu because of the agvas nafshein l'chum v'eskei. And fascinating insight really is put things in the proper perspective according to the Balmor. But there's one more aspect of Zeichel HaMikdash that I want to focus on in the halacha part, and then we'll use that in the sense of the bridge, a little bit of, hopefully, a little bit different hisaros. And that's going all the way back to the first of the Mamakamas. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai made two takanas that are recorded in the Mishnah. One was to count Svira of the one was to shake the lulav inside for the duration of Sukkot. But then, is those last couple of words in the Mishnah we left out, we're going to go back to them now. The second line in the Marim Kamos, the first Marim Machom, the middle of the line, Shehei Yom Hanef Kulo Aser. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai instituted Yom Hanef should be prohibited. What in the world is Yom Hanef? Yom Hanef is the day that the Korban HaOmer was brought. Now, when the Korban HaOmer was brought in the days of the Beit HaMikdash, it was a great celebration right after the Korban HaOmer, because at that point, all the new grain became permissible. The Isra Chadash, the prohibition of Chadash, which for sure existed as Ban HaMikdash, existed as Ban HaZeh, the question is whether it exists in Chutzlar, it's not a very highly controversial issue, but not for now. But the bottom line is that Chadash, new grain, clearly one is not permitted to eat until the Korban HaOmer is brought. The moment that the Korban HaOmer is brought, then one is permitted to eat the new grain. That's the Zman HaMikdash. However, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai made a takana after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, that the prohibition of Chadash was still in the Torah, the prohibition of Chadash now lasts until the end of the day. You have to wait until the very end of the day, before the end of Tezai and Nisan, the first day, or still the first day of Chol HaMoed. You have to wait until the end of Tezai and Nisan, the second day of Pesach, before you are permitted to partake of the new grain. What is this all about? So the Gemara explains, we now go down to the third line from the bottom of that Marim Machom, Sheyo Manei, my time. What is this all about? Meheri Yibon HaBeis HaMikdash. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was worried, so to speak. He was concerned the Beis HaMikdash is going to be rebuilt right away. And what will be so terrible? We'll be so happy. Listen to what's going to go wrong. V'yomru, people are going to make the following mistake. Ishtake milo chal lebeher midrach. Min HaTorah, according to many opinions, when there's no Beis HaMikdash, Chadash becomes permissible in the morning of the 16th. When you have a Beis HaMikdash, you have to wait a few hours till they bring the korban. But Bezman She'en Beis HaMikdash Gayam, it becomes mutter in the morning. So once the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Min HaTorah, you can eat Chadash first thing in the morning. What's going to happen? Next year, the Beis HaMikdash is going to be rebuilt. And what are people going to say? Everyone around, what did we do last year? Well, last year we ate Chadash for breakfast. Hashtanam in Echol. And we're going to eat Chadash for breakfast this year also. V'inu lo yadei. People are not going to know. V'ishtaked lo ha've Beis HaMikdash. Last year, there was no Beis HaMikdash. Therefore, here Mizrach hit there. Therefore, it was permissible to eat in the morning. But Hashadiga Beis HaMikdash, Omer Matir. But now, when we have a Beis HaMikdash, we have to wait for the Korban HaOmer. We have to wait those few hours. And therefore, it's going to be a big nichshol. It's going to be a big stumbling block. Therefore, to make things easy for people, to prevent any confusion, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai made a takana that don't eat Chadash the entire day. The guy's plotting to eat Chadash for breakfast. He's plotting for the master through Yoshin anyway. He's trying to wait. I don't know what he's going to eat. He's going to eat his Chadash. He's waiting. Hola, Otadot's about to eat his Chadash. And we say, sorry, Charlie, you have to wait mid the Rabbanan for a few hours. Why? Meheri Rabbanan Mikdash. Because maybe next year the Beis HaMikdash is going to be rebuilt and it's going to be a big confusion. Meheri Rabbanan Mikdash. This takon of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, on first glance, sounds like a very, very technical, you know, detailed takon. Chadash, we also started thinking about Chadash and Yashem at the 16th in the morning, in the afternoon, in the night. It sounds like a very, very technical, nitty-gritty kind of a takon. I think that this takon of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai sets the stage and really puts us into the proper frame of mind as we approach the days of Tisha B'Av. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's words are powerful. They're awesome. Imagine for a moment, close your eyes for a moment, and think about who Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was, when he lived, what he experienced, what his challenges were. famous Gemara Masechet Gittin. He was the leader of Klal Yisrael at the time of the Churban. He was the one who negotiated Tein Li Avne V'Chachamel. He was the one who saw the Beis Hamikdash in flames. He was the one who saw Klal Yisrael being sent into exile. He was the one who saw total and complete destruction. And it was the first couple of days, couple of weeks, couple of months after the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. One can just imagine what the mood was. And Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai gets up with his Beis Din HaGadol and makes two takanas for us. Takana number one, it was only 2 months after the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed in Tisha B'Av. So it comes before the first Sukkot. Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai tells everybody, Zeich LeMikdash, don't forget the Beis Hamikdash. From now on, you have to shake lulav all week. I said, wow, that's what we're thinking about. One can imagine the politicians are probably thinking, we got to worry about how to negotiate with Rome. And the people, the doomsday prophets, say, oh, there's never going to be any more Jewish people. Everybody was all depressed and down, the dumps. And Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai tells everybody, no. Zeich LeMikdash. Don't forget the Beis HaMikdash. Don't forget the Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi, that was a thing of the past. What do we have to remember the Beis HaMikdash for? Comes Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai and gives us takana number two. Part two, it's the same takana. Look at it. Hiskin Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, Shilu of Little Medina, V'yom HaNekos. It's the same breath. Tachmei Dibur. He made two takanas at the same time. He made a takana of to remember the Beis HaMikdash. But one can argue, why do I have to remember the Beis HaMikdash? If it's not coming back again, so forget about it. It's done. It's history. No. The reason why you have to remember the Beis HaMikdash is because you have to be ready when it comes back. If you forget about it, then it won't come back to you. Shehei Yom HaNev Kulawasar. Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai sat down and he sent out a message to Klal Yisrael. Can you imagine, today, if you open up the emails, an alert from the Beis HaGadol, everyone can't eat Chadash for a few more hours. Everyone's scattered, why not? And look what it says in the postscript. You know why you can't eat Chadash? Because the Beis HaMikdash is going to be rebuilt. By next year, you're going to have a Beis HaMikdash. Really? Do you really believe it? Absolutely. Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai instilled with this takana, there was a secret. There was a secret message. There was an encoded message in this takana. It wasn't just a detail of how many more hours you can eat your matzah, Brai. It was an encoded message to Klal Yisrael that Yom HaNefi HaKulah Wasser, Meheira Yibon HaMikdash. It's not just Zeich LeMikdash. Zeich LeMikdash is of the past. The reason why we're Zeich LeMikdash people is because we believe that Munish Lame and Meheira Yibon HaMikdash. And it's that dual theme that Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai built into Klal Yisrael, and it's that dual theme that kept Klal Yisrael alive until this very day. If you ever wonder, historically, the most phenomenal thing occurred just a little bit around the time of Rav Tzvi Kalischer, as we mentioned before, where he had this idea in the early 1800s, Meheira Yibon HaMikdash, we're going to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, we're going to offer kavanos, etc. For whatever reason, it wasn't yet the time, the Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't quite let the plan reach fruition. But something unbelievable happened in the world, and you know, we're still in the middle of it. It's hard for us to understand. History takes a long, long time to understand. But somehow, something started in the heart of Klal Yisrael. This notion we're going to return back to Eretz Yisrael, and logically, it did rationally, it made absolutely no sense. You can return back again. A bunch of Jews living in Poland for the last 800 years. You're Jews living here. You're going to imagine. My inyan l'chayit to Eretz Yisrael. My inyan l'chayit to Beis HaMikdash. You're going to go back, build Yerushalayim, build a Beis HaMikdash. Who are you kidding? And the answer was, there's only one thing that gave that hope and dream the ability to begin to prosper, and it's the fruits of that dream that we're living in Ad Hayom Hazeh, and we're Baruch Hashem here, celebrating and saying Divrei Torah in the middle of Eretz Yisrael today. What made that miracle happen was the fact that for 2,000 years, Klal Yisrael, day in and day out, said the words, and maybe they said it quicker than the davening, but they said it, and they felt it. And year in and year out, Jews throughout the world, Jews from Teban to Poland to Russia to Morocco, shook a lulav the entire week of Sukkot, not just one day. Their eyes could have gotten away with one day. No. Zeich LeMikdash, Tzion Yidor Shein Lo. And Jews throughout the world counted Sefiras HaOmer, and every day for 49 days they concluded by saying Harachem on a Yachzel Lanu Avodas Mikdash. This is a Mikdash Lo Yomer Mitzvah. And every single year they sat down to the Seder and didn't just eat matzah and maror. They sat down and they ate korech and they said Zeich LeMikdash. Well, they said it before or after, I can't tell you, but they said Zeich LeMikdash. And every year they concluded the Seder of the Shabbat. Every year they concluded Yom Kippur. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, B'shas HaKorban, instilled in Klal Yisrael that the secret to Meheira Yibon HaMikdash is Zeich LeMikdash. So now we have the whole perspective of the mitzvahs that we perform throughout the course of the year are not just, we shake a little, a few more days, we got a little sphere here, eat another pizza master, why not? And a little more master more, what's the big deal? What we are doing time and time again, as the Sefer Chinuch says, there was these little drops, these little ma'aseh mitzvahs throughout the course of the year that have been moshech levavos, that have created that feeling, that longing of Klai Yisrael for Meheri Ban HaMikdash, that we're still here at Yom HaZeh. Maybe we'll be Zocha, Beth Hashem, if you invite me to come back next year, so we'll give a shiur about Binyan Beit HaMikdash, about Beth Hashem, about the celebration of Binyan Beit HaMikdash, Shebana Beit HaMikdash, Beit HaMikdash.
Thank you, Rabbi Sobolsky. I just want to remind everyone that August 3rd, we have Rav Moshe Dov Tendler, Shlita at the Kiyas Nofei Shemesh for a Kol Yom Shishi, and then we have on August 15th, I believe that's Vav or Zion Elul, we're going to be having Beryl Wine here in Beit Shemesh. Stay tuned for all the information. Thank you for coming. If you can help clean up, there's anything back to clean up, we would appreciate help. And thank you for coming, and see you soon. We're up to 3,000.